Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Kevin Moore Show. I'm Kevin Moore, and it is a pleasure to be spending the next hour with you. Our opening musical selection was Promises, Promises, a wonderful song from the great composer Burt Bacharach. And that's what I have for all of you today, the promise that this next hour will be informative, interesting, provocative, and maybe even a little exciting. A promise that our discussions will give you something to think about today and hopefully something to talk about tomorrow. Or what I'd like to think of as a civilized hour of culture and conversation. Well, as I like to do to begin each of our shows, I like to read or share a recent poignant story or an especially interesting essay or some philosophical quotes or thoughts or sometimes even a little poetry that touches or speaks to us all. Well, since this is our Thanksgiving show, let's talk a little Thanksgiving, entitled Thanksgiving and You. You have a lot to do in preparation for the Thanksgiving holiday. There's the cooking and the eating and the cleaning and the watching of football games and the refereeing of various family feuds and maybe the logistical planning to get in line for the 5 a.m. opening of a nearby outlet mall. Maybe not. Could we offer one small piece of advice? Stop. Stop. Thanksgiving is unique among American holidays because it is sacred and secular and about only one thing. You. You giving thanks. Not you saluting a flag on the 4th of July, or you buying a box of chocolates for a Valentine, or you dropping to your knees at midnight mass Christmas Eve. Not that there's anything wrong with those things, but Thanksgiving is the most personal of holidays because to observe it, you must pause to observe your own life. You have to spare a few minutes to be grateful about, well, whatever you're grateful for in your life. And be grateful. We know this is a familiar advice. You've heard it before and even dispensed it yourself, possibly to yourself. It is, however, extraordinarily hard to follow. Ordering someone to be grateful is like ordering him to be tall. Just doesn't work that way. Gratitude is a muscle that most of us exercise only sparingly. We're spinning along at warp speed, too busy to pay attention. After a while, that blur is your life. What? It's Thursday again? What? It's Thanksgiving again? What? It's Memorial Day again? It takes effort to untether yourself, even for an hour, from the frenetic pace. Try this experiment. Forget about the bad stuff for a few minutes. Forget about all the reversals of fortune, the things you're worried might happen. Focus instead on all the things going right. For those moments, absorb the wisdom of a close relative who summed up her philosophy of life this way. It could be worse. Things to be thankful for needn't fall into the category of monumental, life-altering events. They could be as simple as a kind word from the boss, or a smile from the clerk at the department store, a game of catch with a son who's been away at a college, or a rowdy political debate with the in-laws. And maybe, while you're toting up all the things to be thankful for, you can add up all the opportunities to create such moments. Yes, praise from a boss is always nice, but so is remembering to give a kind word to a subordinate or coworker, to take a moment to thank that clerk or waiter who exceeded your expectations, or the security guard you nod at as you walk past every day, while you're distracted by a million other things. Thanksgiving comes once a year, but you could celebrate it every day. Gratitude is a muscle that most of us exercise only sparingly. Gratitude unlocks the fullness of life. It turns what we have into enough and more. It turns denial into acceptance, chaos to order, confusion to clarity. It can turn a meal into a feast, a house into a home, a stranger into a friend. Gratitude makes A sense of our past brings peace for today and creates a vision for tomorrow. Thanksgiving blessings to all of us. And although it's Thanksgiving, everybody else is playing Christmas music. I don't think there's any reason we shouldn't either. From Johnny Mathis's Christmas album, the Christmas song, Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire, a duet with Billy Joel, and we'll be back on The Kevin Moore Show.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos.
Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe will help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight.
They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh,
and every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly.
And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you.
They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh.
And every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. So I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92.
Although it's been said many times, many ways,
Merry Christmas,
Merry Christmas,
Merry Christmas,
Merry Christmas,
Merry Christmas to you.
Johnny Mathis and Billy Joel sending us a little Christmas, the Christmas song, Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire. And we're back on The Kevin Moore Show. For years, it has been a wreck of a building on one of the most beautiful sites along Lake Michigan, just off of the Fullerton Avenue entrance to Lakeshore Drive. It stood dormant for most of each winter, awaking primarily in summer for what, since 1996, was a popular festival showcasing remounts of some of the best productions from the preceding season by the city's storefront theater companies. Now, Theater on the Lake, built in 1920 as a sanitarium for tuberculosis patients and subsequently used as a USO center during World War II and as a summertime stage for community theater, is reopening as a wholly rehabbed, modernized facility designed for year-round use as a restaurant, special events facility, and performance space. And as our very special guest, we have the person who's responsible for that. He's an award-winning businessman, real estate mogul, cutting-edge entrepreneur, recognized Chicago restaurateur, former dean at Deerfield High School, teacher, coach, and mentor at St. Ignatius College Prep, one of the brightest stars in the world of Chicago business, Jesuit-educated, and a longtime dear friend of the Moore family, and president of Lakeshore Hospitality Group, now opening what will be the newest hot destination for food and drink and entertainment in Chicago, the rebirth of the Theater on the Lake, located at Lakeshore Drive at Fullerton, our good pal, Mr. Johnny Wren. Johnny, welcome to the Kevin Moore Show.
Oh, Kevin, thanks so much for having me. Great talking to you.
It's an honor to have you, and congratulations. This is a terrific idea. I know you've had this thought in your mind for many, many years, and now things are coming to fruition. How did it all start? How did this germinate?
It started many years ago, actually. It's just I learned of the Lakeshore Revetment Project, which a number of government entities, the city, the county, I think the Army Corps of Engineers all got together to redo to revet the lakefront, mm-hmm. the shoreline there. Mm-hmm. It needed it after many years of obviously getting pounded by the lake. They did a wonderful job, and really what they left was about 6 to 8 acres of beautiful shoreline, and they did landfill, and really one of the things that came out of that, Kevin, was a turnabout. And previously, this building was kind of hard to get to, but right. The turnabout really allowed for access, which is really the key to the whole thing. And once I heard about that, I'd come up with an idea to kind of redo the building and presented it. They bid it out. We won the presentation. Then it kind of sat there for a while. They changed administrations, and we had to rebid it. And eventually we won it again, and actually it was rebid a third time. So we were fortunate enough to stay in there and persevere and kind of follow through with our ideas here and take it to the next level. And thankfully won the third bid as well. And it was, so after many years, we kind of were able to get the construction done. We got the contract signed with the Park District. And what we have basically is a 15-year lease to operate and manage the building in return for the construction efforts that we put into it. And the building, it's a unique building, as you described in your very eloquent introduction.
Very eloquent.
It was, so we had to redo the whole building, which was really even a bigger chore, as you can imagine. Just, same as if you're doing an old house. You never know what you're into.
Sure.
It. And it's, we had, thankfully, just a great teams all along the lines. Our design team, our construction team, led by Mark DeMarsh and Jimmy McLaughlin, just did a fantastic job restoring it. And our design team, led by Kaufman O'Neill Architects out of Evanston, just did a great job as well. And, one of the best things about the teams, Kevin, is as you've been a team player your whole life, it's fun to be part of a team like that. And these guys were just tremendous guys to work with, tremendous guys you want to have a sandwich or a beer with, but happen to also be experts in their field, which was just, every step of the way we've been blessed to work with partners like that. And so, together, we were able to restore this kind of a gem on the lakefront.
Well, talk about a gem. You're right, Johnny, because, this is a building that was designed many years ago by Perkins and Will, and certainly it had great bones to begin with, but it was in disrepair because it started out as a sanitarium, built by the Chicago Daily News for kids who had tuberculosis, and it was a great place for them to go because the wind off the lake would keep them comfortable. And then, of course, it became a place for the USO during the war and so forth. And then it was a community theater, and James Gardner was there, and Amy Madigan played there, and so many people, because at the time, the Chicago Park District had a drama program, which was world renowned, and they made use of that every summer. And then theater from around the Chicagoland area came and did 8 or 9 productions, and it was great. And then it kind of went downhill. And when you don't take care of things, it starts to fall apart. And that's what you were confronted with. But now you've made it continued to make it a gem from what it is right now.
We did, and again, the people I just recognized were tantamount to that success of rebuilding it, because they painstakingly went through and tried to stay true to the original architect's vision. And, you know, and along with keeping it open and keeping it, you know, keeping really with the Burnham plan for the whole city of Chicago, what we really thought was that we wanted to add something to the lakefront, have something, you know, as a lifelong Chicago, and have something that we could all be proud of and hopefully flock to. And we've seen that in the early stages here as we're really starting to book up events, because it's going to be, Kevin, it's going to be a great restaurant on one end, and it's going to be event space throughout. So we really are kind of, we really are kind of like something for everyone, you know, whether you want to have a big corporate gala, whether you want to have a wedding, whether you want to have come down and enjoy a play or a concert, or just come down and have a great meal, you know, we're there for you. And it's just, no matter which room, we've kind of divided the place into four rooms, but they can all be contiguously used, so they can all be open, and you can use the whole venue, or you can just use a portion of the venue. No matter which portion you have, you step out onto a veranda overlooking the lake. And obviously with any of the south views, it's of the skyline. So it's really spectacular no matter which room you're in or which part of the building you're using. And, you know, again, speaking, you know, going back to talking about teams, we've established a great team. I know a dear friend of yours, Susan Nickel, is our general manager, and she's just we couldn't be happier to have her aboard. Connor Kelly is our bar event manager, and our chef is Cletus Friedman, who is you know, renowned in the Chicago area and has a huge foodie following. And what he's basically doing is offering kind of seasonal Midwestern fare, uses all fresh ingredients. He's an original farm-to-table guy, excuse me, and he's got a very approachable menu, and we really think it's going to be something people really enjoy. And we've been open for a couple weeks now, and really, we've been getting, you know, from the people who've come in, we've just gotten rave reviews. People have really enjoyed the food. They've enjoyed the setting. You know, we think we put together a good team to serve the public. You know, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention a couple of the other ones. Ryan Gallagher's our operations guy, and he's kind of taking care of the building for us, which is a big part of it. And it's just, it's been fun to be part of a team that's, you know, taking on this challenge, and we're hoping to please everybody.
Well, if anybody can get the word out, Susan Dillon can get the word out, because she certainly knows everybody and certainly has a great following herself. And it's going to be very easy. Not that, you know, it's not something that's, it is a business, but it's going to be very easy to sell something of the quality that you have, because, like you said, Johnny, you have the staff, you have the team together that's going to produce a good product here, and whether that product is entertainment or whether that product is food or whether that product is drink, you know what? You have the best location in the city of Chicago. There's no doubt about that. Nobody's going to ever complain about that, and that's what's going to be the draw. And now when you get a big raft out in the lake where you can park, we'll be in good shape.
Yeah, we will be. And I should also say, you know, speaking of partnerships, the city has been fantastic. There's been a lot of support from the mayor's office. From Mayor Emanuel has been a great partner here, and as the Park District team has as well. They've been fantastic to work with, and it really is a true partnership. And, you know, we're happy to be a part of it.
Well, you've had some gatherings just to kick off things. How have the gatherings gone?
Oh, they've been fantastic. I mean, we've had Danny Did Foundation, which I know you're a big supporter and
sure.
fan of. They kicked it off with a gala of about 650
wow.
people,
wow.
and it was great. The following day, Chicago Sport and Social Club had a 850 people Bloody Mary Fest.
Wow.
Two totally different activities, but both worked really well in our space. And then since then, we've just had, you know, different. We had an industry night last week for 400 of the event planners and meeting planners from Chicago land area, and that the building never looked better. It was just great. As you said, one of the things is it's been open air forever. So the first time this building's ever been enclosed was when we put windows in August.
Mm-hmm.
And so after 100 years, it's finally kind of, you know, been a venue we can use year-round and not just seasonal anymore. And it's something I think we're all looking forward to.
Now, Shannon said she got an invitation for an alumni hot dog night or something that's from Ignatius.
There is an Ignatius event, St. Ignatius event coming up. Yeah, there's plenty of different events, which, you know, we're excited. We had one of the great things is we had an event the other night for Concern Worldwide, which is a fantastic organization.
Yeah, it is.
They used half the facility, and we still had the dining room packed, and you would never have known sitting in the dining room that there was a 300-person event going on in the other end of the building,
wow.
which I think speaks volumes to the work those construction and design teams put into this to ensure that could happen.
Now, of course, everybody Ubers now and Lyfts and whatever, but do you have a valet service so people can come and if they want to drive in?
We do. We do. Danny Duty's valet company is doing it. I think you know Dan from the Duty family, Southside Duty family.
Right.
And they're running it. They've done a great job so far. We also have validated parking available at the zoo, which is less than a block away.
Okay. Well, that's good. Now, John, you started out, of course, you have the great Lizzie McGuire's that's very been a success for many years, and you wanted to expand. You wanted to do something different. You wanted to do something a little bigger, and here was a nice next step. What did you learn from the first place that you're taking with you to this?
I think one of the biggest things you learn is the customer kind of defines in some ways who you are and what you offer. You know, if you listen to those folks and you kind of try to keep giving them what they want and what they're looking for and respond to their needs, you know, you're going to have a successful enterprise. And I think that's what's made us successful at Lizzie's is that we keep listening to folks. You know, we keep seeing what they want and responding to those needs and just try to, you know, I think in general, if you try to make people happy and try to meet their goals, which is a carryover from my educational days, I think that's the, you know, the key to being a successful restaurant, really a successful organization of any kind. And you have to listen and be open to new ideas and really cater to what the public wants. And I think that's what we're trying to do here.
You know, a good friend of both of ours, Billy Lawless, who's done such a great job at the Gage in many of his restaurants, you know, we just have conversations with him on the show. And one of the things he brings out, of course, you have to have a good food product, which is very important. But the people that are working for you have to make a good impression. I think that's so very important because some restaurants you go into Chicago could have great, great food, but they're not welcoming when you walk into place, you know, and you're reluctant. Once is fine, but yeah, I don't want to go back because I don't have that same feeling that I'd like. And I think that's if the people that work for you, John, or work with you at this facility are like John Wren or Susan Nickel, you got a hit, baby.
Oh, thanks, Kevin. That's what we're aiming to do. That's what we've had success at Lizzie's. We have a very welcoming, I think there's a warm feel down there, and there's a warm feel at this new place as well, and it's something we're looking to, you know, to keep building on. One of the things, too, is we have a fantastic 3-acre outdoor parcel as well to have events and everything like that. So we had a 3,800-person dinner out there late this summer.
Wow.
So, you know, I think you're exactly right. You know, you have to have good people around you, and nobody does that better than Billy Lawless, a great friend of mine, and I've leaned on him and his son, Billy, and his daughters, who all have successful places for a lot of consultation, if you will. So they've been very helpful in the process.
You know, it's funny because just a little north of there, you'll remember years ago, there was a gun club right on the lake there.
Yes, there was. Yeah.
And, of course, now it's beautiful sculptures that line the lake from the south side to the north side. And certainly things, that's our gem. That's our gem, the lake. We're so very fortunate to have lived in Chicago and grown up in Chicago and have what we have here because everybody gravitates to that. Now they're going to be able to gravitate to Theater on the Lake, not only in the summer, all year round, especially in the winter. It'll be beautiful in the winter with the snow coming down and the trees. It's going to be just delightful.
I couldn't agree with you more. It's something I keep telling people. Everybody talks about how great it's going to be in the summer, but I really think the most beautiful time down there is going to be in the winter. And we're, you know, working right now to get Christmas decorations up for December 1st. And we really think we're going to, you know, deck the place out and deck the halls, as they say. It should be a fun place to be all winter.
Now, tonight, you have the special party tonight?
Tomorrow night. Yeah, we're having a grand opening event tomorrow night. And then we've been open for a couple weeks. And then we're going to hit the kind of a soft opening. And now we're going to hit the ground running starting Friday.
Now, it's important, of course, and we want to get this to all our listeners. Make a reservation. This way you're sure assured that you're going to be able to get in. You're going to have a nice table and so forth. And even if you want to sit at the bar, maybe it would be good to call in.
It's a great – not quite as neat as at the bar, but it would be great to make a reservation also to check in. There will be an occasion when, you know, we have a special event and the restaurant may be wrapped up into that. So, yeah, we do encourage folks to make reservations. And I should note, too, that lunch service will begin December 1st.
Oh, isn't that great? It's terrific.
So we'll have lunch as well starting December 1st.
Now, will you have hours for lunch or will you just go right through to dinner?
It'll go right through to dinner. So, you know, basically you'll have a lunch menu from 11 to 3, kind of a bar menu from 3 to 4:30, and then a dinner menu after that. But, again, in the spirit of aiming to please, you know, if somebody comes in for dinner and wants something off the lunch menu, more often than not we're going to be able to you know, consider that and offer that to folks.
I like the fact that, you know, you're going to be open all the way through, John, because sometimes you go into a restaurant, you're there just right at the cutting edge there, and you can't order lunch and you can't order dinner. They kind of break down things for an hour or two, and here you are with nothing but the drink, but sitting at the bar, and that's not what you want, you know. But now you go all the way through. It's a great idea. And now that our favorite place, the Chicago Brauhaus, will be closing, everybody will come down to the Theater on the Lake.
We'd love to have them. And speaking of that, Kevin, we're already starting to look at doing Oktoberfest next year.
Great.
We think we'll have a great venue for outdoor and indoor.
You know, it's a great idea. And certainly to get the point across that you got opportunities for Christmas parties, you have opportunity for birthday parties and first Holy Communions and confirmations and graduations and weddings and everything else down there.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, one of the things that I just briefly touched on was the fact that we're going to have concerts. And really one of the real coups, I think, that one of the all-stars we added to the team was Joe Shanahan from the Metro. Joe
sure.
just celebrated their 35th anniversary at the owning and operating the Metro. And what a place. I mean, he's the number one music guy in Chicago, so we couldn't be more thrilled. He'll be doing all our bookings and handling the music end of things for us, which is just is really going to be outstanding. So we're really looking forward to that.
Well, the entire Moore family is very supportive of you, of course, and congratulates you. And you've known them all because you've touched all their lives in school, whether it's St. Ignatius or wherever. And it's bound to be a success, John, because you've, as I said before in my introduction, one of the finest gentlemen I know in the city of Chicago. And it should be a lot of fun.
Well, Kevin, I really appreciate it. You know how much I love you and the family, and look forward to seeing you guys soon. And thanks so much for having us on.
The newly renovated 19,000 square feet Theater on the Lake is located at Fullerton Avenue and Lakeshore Drive, a historic building that offers breathtaking views of Lake Michigan and Chicago skyline. Renovations to the Theater on the Lake will now allow for expanded programming beyond the traditional summer season, and will make the lakefront a welcoming place for residents and visitors to enjoy recreational and cultural. Theater on the Lake's new redesign preserves the historical aesthetics of the structure while incorporating modern elements to transform it into a versatile, multi-use, year-round venue. The vast facelift also includes a restaurant with an event space, state-of-the-art commercial kitchen, a full bar, outdoor seating, office space, and restrooms. The south end of the lakefront terrace will serve as a space for al fresco dining, and the rest will be available for use by private event rentals. The facility is owned by the Chicago Park District and is managed and operated by the Lakefront Hospitality Group, headed by our good pal, Mr. Johnny Wren. Johnny, a pleasure to have you on the show. My best of the family, of course, and we're going to see you tomorrow night, but God bless you. Anything we can do to get the word out, you know we're here for you, and tell Susan our best, and a phone number, website, if people like to get some information.
The website is www.theateronthelake.com, and theater is T-H-E-A-T-E-R. And our phone number down there is 312-414-1313. Thanks again, Kevin. The best to all the Moores, and I look forward to seeing you.
God bless you, my pal.
Take care.
Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Johnny Wren, one of the great guys in Chicago, and so excited for he and Susan and his staff transforming the Theater on the Lake, a metamorphosis. It's going to be a beautiful place for a four-season room for summer and for fall and for winter and for the spring and for any kind of function that you want. Weddings and entertainment spectacles and a great dinner. Sit down and relax, have a drink at the bar, and certainly a fun place to be. And again, for information, Theater on the Lake, or the phone number is 312-414-1313. John Wren's a dear friend. We wish him all the luck in the world. Hoagy Carmichael was an American composer, pianist, singer, actor, and bandleader. American composer and author Alec Wilder described Carmichael as the most talented, inventive, sophisticated, and jazz-oriented of all the great craftsmen of pop songs in the first half of the 20th century. And some of those songs we're all familiar with. Classic, Stardust, Georgia on My Mind, In the Still of the Night, The Nearness of You, Heart and Soul, Skylark. And now, three Hoosiers, Laura Freeman, Jeff Dean, and Becky Menzie, team up to honor, if not the only, the truest Indiana songwriter, Hoagy Carmichael. He holds the unique distinction of having written four of the most recorded songs of all time. Born at the turn of this last century, along with the advent of jazz, he was key in shaping how a song could be written and some consider his contribution to be more important than Gershwin's. He was also an excellent lyricist, an iconic vocalist, and an in-demand actor. On the line with us right now is the critically acclaimed stage actor Hoosier from Bloomington, Indiana, accomplished performer, and one of the brightest stars in the world, Chicago Cabaret, who with Laura Freeman and musical director Becky Menzie are presenting their much-loved tribute to Hoagy Carmichael, back for one night only at the Skokie Theater, 7924 North Lincoln, on Saturday, December 2nd at 8 o'clock. The heart and soul of Hoagy Carmichael, Mr. Jeff Dean. Jeff, welcome to the Kevin Moore Show.
Thanks for having me. Hello, Kevin.
Well, this sounds a lot of fun because you had such a great success with the show a few months ago, and now you're back, and I'm sure it's going to be met with great critical success.
I hope so. What I discovered after we put this show together is a lot of people don't know who Hoagy is.
Well, they should, because, boy, he wrote everything, and it was a hit.
Yeah, that's true.
And, of course, he wrote with some of the great composers, Johnny Mercer and Frank Lesser. I'll let you kind of go with it.
That's true. He did. With those two giants, he also wrote a lot with a lyricist named Paul Francis Webster, mm-hmm. who I really only have always gauged him by his work with Sammy Thain.
Uh-huh.
And I much prefer his work with Hoagy. I think it gives him a great deal of freedom. I like his lyrics more with Hoagy than I do with Sammy Thain. No offense to Sammy Thain fans.
Well, you're certainly together with some very, very talented people. Laura Freeman, who's a very dear friend and does
she
such a terrific
her love,
job.
By the way.
Well, that's she's a special lady. And Becky Menzie, who sets the standard as far as cabaret and jazz in Chicago go, and she's your musical director. And
yeah.
With that group, it should be a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
And people, how do you go about breaking up the songs as far as how those are presented, Jeff?
In how? You mean with patter interspersed and whatnot?
Sure, sure.
We decided to go with less patter and more songs.
Uh-huh.
So we'll have back-to-back songs. One time I think we've even got four in a row. It's just a stream of wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And how do you introduce? You do a little introduction of Hoagy and his life and how he got to be where he were?
We concentrated on his essence, really, which is that his Hoosier, or his, if you don't want to say Hoosier, just that his rural sensibility, mm-hmm. set against jazz, whatever you want to define jazz to be, and his struggle with wanting to, whether he should be a lawyer or a songwriter, and that's it, basically.
And he was an attorney. That's true. Mm-hmm. Now, a Midwestern sensibility, of course, he brings to his song, something uh-huh. that would touch all of us because we're all from the Midwest and we're yeah. all familiar, as you three are, coincidentally, all from Indiana, which is kind of interesting.
Oh.
And this is how he comes across, yet he's becomes one of the most sophisticated songwriters in America of all time.
Yeah, I equate jazz with sophistication.
Mm-hmm.
And when you throw this rural sensibility into it, you think it could come off like a country song or something. And that's the paradox of Hoagy and what I think makes him really interesting.
What's some of your favorite songs that he wrote that you're going to enjoy singing?
I have to say, you said favorite song, so I'll give you more than one, Kevin.
Sure, please.
Okay. Well, the Monkey Song. Do you know the Monkey Song?
I don't. No, I don't.
That's funny. I thought people might know the Monkey Song. It's from a little-known movie with, what's it called? Las Vegas Story with Jane Russell.
But, okay.
And he performs it in that. It's very unusual. It's very rapid-fire.
Mm-hmm.
It's only about maybe, it could be 2 minutes. I'd say it could even be a minute and a half, but it's so dense.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me a year to learn it.
Oh, boy.
It's almost like a rap song.
Okay.
So I'll say he was a precursor to rap.
Okay.
And I also have to say, if anybody decides they want to look up the Monkey Song on YouTube, you have to be sure to say Monkey Song Hoagie, or you're going to end up with a song from the Jungle Book.
Okay.
And we don't want that. I'd have to say, I always go for the underdog. There is a song called Poor Old Joe that I'm very fond of, that I really was intent on putting this in, and Becky and Laura indulged me, and we do it together. I saw it the minute I it's in a, you know, a book of mine, and the minute I started applying myself to it, I said, this is what I want to do. I wanted the three of us to do this song. But when I looked the song up to see it perform somewhere else, the only recording I could find was Hoagie's, and it was not at all what I expect. He does it really fast and jazzy, and I think, no offense to Hoagie, but if that's the way he wants to do it, it's his song, but it's not the way I heard it. I don't think that that it captured really what the song really was, and it's one of his character portraits.
And, of course, you have his classics, Heart and Soul and Georgia on My Mind, Cool, Cool, Cool of the Evening, and Nearness of You, of course, one of my favorites. That's got to be a beautiful song.
Laura gets to sing that, and she's gorgeous doing it.
I bet she is. I bet she is. Well, when people are coming to the Skokie Theater on the 2nd, something to look forward to the evening. The show is at 8 o'clock, which gives people a little time to have a little dinner prior to that and enjoy the evening. Anything special you can tell us before we say adios?
I'd love to see you all there, Radioland.
Okay. Very good. Three Hoosiers, Laura Freeman, Jeff Dean, and Becky Menzie, team up to honor, if not the only, the truest Indiana songwriter, Hoagie Carmichael. He holds a unique distinction of having written four of the most recorded songs of all time. Born at the turn of the last century, along with the advent of jazz, he was key in shaping how a song could be written, and some consider his contribution to be more important than Gershwin's. He was also an excellent lyricist, an iconic vocalist, and an in-demand movie actor. On the line with us right now is Jeff Dean, who will be starring with Laura Freeman and Becky Menzie at the Skokie Theater, 7924 North Lincoln, on Saturday, December 2nd at 8 o'clock. For information, 847-677-7761. Please, Jeff, give our best to both Becky and Laura, and I will wish you all a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you so much, Kevin. You too.
Thank you, Jeff.
Bye.
Jeff Dean, that's going to be a great show if you have the opportunity to get up to the Skokie Theater. There's three very talented people. Of course, Becky Menzie and her repertoire speaks for itself. Laura is just a special entertainer, and Jeff does a terrific job. And you'll be hearing some great songs by Hoagie Carmichael. The name even evokes a great songwriter, Hoagie Carmichael, at the Skokie Theater. 7924 North Lincoln, Saturday, December 2nd at 8, The Heart and Soul of Hoagie Carmichael. For information, 847-677-7761. Writers Theater Artistic Director Michael Halberstam and Executive Director Catherine LaPuma announced the first Jillian Theater production of the 2017-2018 season, Quixote on the Conquest of Self, written by Monica Hoth and Claudio Valdez-Curry, English translation by Georgina Escobar, directed by Curry, and featuring Henry Godinez as Don Quixote through December 17th. This engaging and creative interpretation of the classic novel by Miguel de Cervantes transports audiences between time periods, from the fascinating universes created by Cervantes to the parallel realities of our current world. Along the way, the universally beloved dreamer Don Quixote helps bring new meaning to our triumphs and defeats, reawakening our forgotten desires, and celebrating the joys of great literature. And on the line with us right now is the award-winning actor, having been seen on the stages of the Goodman Theater, Windy City Playhouse, Victory Gardens, and Appletree Theaters, co-founder of Teatro Vista, and director of the Goodman's Latino Festival. Nationally recognized actor and director, recipient of both the Distinguished Service Award for the Creative Arts and the Latino Professionals of the Year Award. Member of the Illinois Arts Council, teacher, mentor, and professor in the theater department of Northwestern University, now starring in the iconic role of Don Quixote de la Mancha in the Writers Theater presentation of Quixote on the Conquest of Self at Writers Theater, 325 Tudor Court in Glencoe, through December 17th. Our good friend, Henry Godinez. Henry, welcome back to the Kevin Moore Show.
Oh, thank you, Kevin. Thank you so much for having me.
It's great to have you. And we missed each other a couple weeks ago, but I'm glad we're together today. And what a great experience in the theater you've provided for everybody that's come up to the Writers' Theater.
Oh, God bless you for saying that. Thank you. It's been a real treat, I have to say.
Well, to be able to play and portray the iconic Don Quixote de la Mancha must be a lot of thrill.
It is, you know. You know, it's he is larger than life, you know, is due in part, you know, as much to the musical that we all know and love, you know, The Man of La Mancha, as to the book itself. And, you know, it's been such a major sort of impact on my life since I first saw the musical in 1977 on Broadway.
Well, we're both aging ourselves here.
Yes,
we're dating
ourselves. I was definitely young, but no, it made a huge impression on me. And then, of course, the film with Peter O'Toole of the musical, which if you have not seen it, I highly recommend.
Sure, sure.
He's just so remarkable. But yeah, it's quite something.
Well, it's like the movie Shakespeare in Love. I think it brought a whole resurgence to the love of Shakespeare. And now we enjoy it. Of course, Barbara Gaines does such a wonderful job at Shakespeare Theater in Chicago.
Yeah.
Cervantes, this is a writer who was on the caliber of Shakespeare. This didn't have the press, very frankly.
Absolutely.
Of course, with the movie and the musical, which is timeless, now people are regenerating the whole thought of Cervantes, and now you're continuing that.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. I hope so. I do think that what this production does is it really humanizes Don Quixote, and makes, you know, that space is so intimate, as you know, Kevin. It's
sure.
So intimate, and the way this play, this production functions, it's very interactive with the audience. I don't want to give away too much, but, you know, he definitely engages and uses the audience. And then it, as you mentioned in your introduction, it also draws, like, really amazing parallels with our world and our life today. So my hope is that, yeah, you know, that it really makes him a much more three-dimensional presence than maybe we've known before.
When you break that fourth wall, so there is an interaction, the audience becomes participatory in the production. There's a great quote by Stella Adler, who said, well, the word theater comes from the Greek word meaning the seeing place, and it's a place people come to see the truth about life and the social situation. That's a perfect example of what you're doing.
Well, thank you. Absolutely. I love that. I love that you referenced that quote and that definition. And it really is. I mean, you're right. There is no fourth wall for my character, for Quixote, for me in this play. I not only interact directly with the audience, as you said, I use them. And hopefully this won't scare people away. On the contrary, don't make them come see it. But I definitely use people from the audience at certain points in the play. And that, in and of itself, allows for a very interesting surprise that I won't give away.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and you know what? I got to be honest with you. It's one of the most challenging aspects of this performance for me, because you cannot hide and you cannot lie.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, as an acting teacher, for me, what's so cool is that, you know, I have to practice what I teach, you know, and the most fundamental aspect of acting is, you know, of what I teach is that you really fully have to inhabit the character every moment, moment by moment by moment, truthfully, believably. And in this situation, there's just no choice but to do that, because you are interacting with people as in the same way that you and I are interacting right now.
Right.
You know, and it's really, it's amazing, and it's freaky, it's been a good lesson for me.
But as you said earlier, Henry, you've been familiar with this character from years and years ago, decades ago, and you really have been inhabiting that character. It's you haven't been doing it on stage, and now you have the opportunity to blossom and make that happen on stage.
Oh, thank you for saying that. I think, you know what, I think you're right, actually, Kevin. I mean, I do think that this character has been living dormant in a way in me, you know, for so many years that now, you know, some people say, isn't it freaky to have to, like, because I do have to do, you know, I do have to do a considerable amount of improvisation sometimes in my interaction with the audience. And people ask me if that's freaky, and in a way, you know, or the way that sometimes people respond, it isn't so freaky because I think I allow the character to just go right through my bones, you know, and I have to live, I have to give over to this character, in order to really pull it off. Yeah,
and isn't that within all of us, or at least all of those artistic people, whether it's music or theater or writing or dance, we all have that bit of Quixote in us. We all have that romantic code of chivalry that we'd like to live by, and we have to figure out how to way to do it. And we approach life, or try to approach life, you know, the mundacity that we have to deal with day in and day out. Yet. Yeah. We still try it.
Yes. Oh, you're so right, Kevin. And to be honest with you, I have to say now more than ever, you know, I mean, our world becomes more and more complicated all the time, you know, and for me, you know, I'll tell you, I'm a naturalized American citizen. I was born in Cuba, came to this country very young, and was allowed by my mother to become an American citizen after I graduated from high school because she wanted us to personally really take responsibility for our citizenship and to really own what it meant to be an American. And I have been the beneficiary of the American dream, and so I really, really deeply love this country. And I'm so disturbed by the divisiveness. And this role really gives me an opportunity to encourage the best in all of us as human beings, and then beyond that, specifically as American citizens, you know, to really always look to champion the good, you know, which is what Quixote is all about.
Sure.
You know, people think he's crazy because he wants to live his life serving the common good. And I kind of think that's such a really beautiful gift for me these days to be able to share with an audience every night.
I'm going to read a little quote here from one of our town's critiques here. And it says, clearly, Quixote is suffering from something of an existential crisis, although the one thing he is sure of is that his spirit shall never fail. He also knows that the attempt to do good requires great courage and can be a millstone around one's neck. He will warn you, too, that apathy is a great monster and that the lack of will to make a difference in the world is a terrible thing. We should all live by those words.
Yes, we should. God bless that writer. That was beautiful. Yeah, no, it is true. It is true. You know, and we should all live by those words. And people will call you crazy, you know, because it's kind of expected that we will always, you know, go for what is quick and easy, what serves us at the expense of whoever and whatever. And that's just not the way that I was brought up, and it's not what I think this country is based on, you know. You know, we can't be apathetic. We cannot be apathetic. We can't just sit back and do nothing. We have to do something, and we have to do something for the common good, to better our world and to champion those that are less fortunate than ourselves, you know?
You know, you listen to some things that are said and some things that are happening, Henry, and you shake your head and go, what? You know, you can't believe it sometimes, you know? You know, for those people who would rather not spend days reading 1,100 pages of Cervantes, please come and see Quixote on the Conquest of Self and get the same self-satisfaction.
Yes. There you go. Yeah, no, you can do it in 90 minutes instead of 1,100 pages.
And the writers here are such a beautiful place. It's a new theater up there. Jeannie Gang put together a beautiful building, and now it's brought a whole new audience to the Writers Theater Group.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. It's really gorgeous. And I get so excited every night when I see young people in the audience. And I think that's the future. But yeah, it's a really cool place. It's a, and I will say this, it's a great date show.
There you go.
Well, the show, I think, is a good date show, but the Writers itself is a great date experience. It's a great evening out because they have a, it's a beautiful place, and they have a bar, and they have food, and you're welcome to bring your drink into the theater, you know, which can only help.
Sure. You know, you've worn so many hats. Of course, you're a professor at Northwestern, and you've directed, and you've acted. What do you prefer, one over the other, or do you need all of that melding together to make each one of a success?
Well, you know, I'll start by saying that I acknowledge that I'm super blessed and fortunate to be able to do all of those things in a great city like Chicago that's been my home for more than 30 years. And I've grown up here in the theater community. And, you know, I will say that I love directing because I get to collaborate with all the artists, you know, and you get to, in a way, do a little bit of everything when you direct in putting a production together. I love teaching because, to me, that is the future. And if I can, you know, I liken, my great mentor, Michael Maggio, likened teaching to dropping a pebble in a pond, you know, and creating those ripples that extend out. And to me, that's why teaching is so important. Acting keeps me honest, but I will say it's of the three, it's the hardest because you have to put yourself out there.
Sure.
And to really do it well, you can't hide. And you, every night, eight times a week, you put your butt on the line, and you got to give it your all. And it's exhausting. Well, this production in particular is exhausting. I'll tell you that. It's extremely physical. And as you pointed out, I'm not a spring chicken anymore.
No, I didn't fight that. I was like,
luckily, I've stayed in shape. But I'm telling you, man, I am doing somersaults and, you know, headstands and crazy stuff that, wow. I should take out, you know, buy some stock in Epsom salts is what I should
You can still do it, though, Henry. That's the important thing.
But I can still do it, by golly. Yeah.
Well, another Stella Adler quote, of course. Life will beat you down and crush your soul, but art and music and theater will remind you that you have one. And you're reminding us every night, Henry.
Oh, God bless you. Thank you for that. It's a privilege and an honor to be able to do it.
What's next up for Henry Godinez?
Well, I'm directing a piece for Chicago Children's Theater.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a new piece that we're developing called The Last Stop on Market Street. And it's a new world premiere adaptation of an award-winning children's book. And it's going to be in their new space down there in the West Loop. And I'm super excited about it. It's a musical. Cheryl West is doing the book and the adaptation. And Lamont Dozier and his son Paris, Lamont Dozier of Motown fame, who wrote many of the great Supreme hits, is doing the music, writing the music. And so I'm super excited. I think it's going to be really, really, really cool.
You know, Jackie Russell has done a great job. I just had my grandchildren down there this weekend seeing Frog and Toad. They loved it, and it's a great new space for them. It's a wonderful place.
There you go. So you know, it's amazing what Jackie's done. So I'm really excited about that, and that'll be up this spring. And we're talking about next season at the Goodman. So
beautiful.
You know, we'll take it one step at a time.
Beautiful. Writers Theater Artistic Director Michael Halberstam and Executive Director Catherine LaPuma announced the first Jillian Theater production of the 2017-2018 season, Quixote on the Conquest of Self, directed by Claudio Valdez-Curie and featuring Henry Godinez as Don Quixote through December 17th. On the line with us right now is Henry Godinez. A pleasure always to chat with you, Henry, and we're glad we're here to get the word out, and we thank Kathy Taylor for arranging things. She's a terrific lady.
Yes, she is. She is. Well, I really appreciate you supporting us in this way, and always a pleasure to speak with you, too.
Anything we can do with the phone number, of course, at Writers Theater is 847-242-6000. I will wish you and your family a very happy and holy holiday season.
Thank you, and likewise to you and yours. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Henry.
Have a great day.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Henry Godinez, one of the great talents in Chicago theater, now in Quixote on the Conquest of Self at Writers Theater from the book by the great Miguel de Cervantes. And if you have an opportunity, go up and see it because just a tour de force, I think it's called. For information, 847-242-6000, the Writers Theater. And perhaps we should end with a poem about Thanksgiving. 'Twas the night of Thanksgiving, but I just couldn't sleep. I tried counting backwards. I tried counting sheep. The leftovers beckoned, the dark meat and white. But I fought the temptation with all of my might. Tossing and turning with anticipation, the thought of a snack became infatuation. So I raced to the kitchen, flung open the door, and gazed at the fridge full of goodies galore. I gobbled up turkey and buttered potatoes, pickles and carrots, beans and tomatoes. I felt myself swelling so plump and so round till all of a sudden I rose off the ground. I crashed through the ceiling, floating into the sky with a mouthful of pudding and a handful of pie. But I managed to yell as I soared past the trees, "Happy eating to all, pass the cranberries, please. May your stuffing be tasty. May your turkey be plump. May your potatoes and gravy have nary a lump. May your yams be delicious. May your pies take the prize. May your Thanksgiving dinner stay off of your thighs. And may your Thanksgiving be blessed." Well, that about does it for our show today. I thank you for sharing this last hour with me and hope you, our listeners, have enjoyed this time as much as I have. I'd especially like to thank our guest, Jenny Wren, the president of Lakeshore Entertainment and his new facility, The Rebirth of the Theater on the Lake, located at Lakeshore Drive in Fullerton. For information, 312-414-1313. Jeff Dean, who with Laura Freeman and musical director Becky Menzies are presenting their much-loved tribute to Hoagy Carmichael, the heart and soul of Hoagy Carmichael, on Saturday, December 2nd at Skokie Theater, 7924 North Lincoln, at 8 o'clock. For information, 847-677-7761. And finally, the very talented Henry Godinez in the Writers Theater's presentation of Quixote on the Conquest of Self at Writers Theater, 325 North Tudor Court in Glencoe, through December 17th. For information, 847-242-6000. Finally, a famous writer once said, one ought, every day at least, to hear a little song, read a good poem, see a fine picture, and if it were possible, to speak a few reasonable words. I hope on our show today we have, at the very least, done just that, spoken a few reasonable words. At that, I'd like to wish everyone a good week, and as that British group once said, and in the end, the love that you take is equal to the love that you make. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
I know the way I feel for you. It's now or never. The more I love, the more that I'm afraid. In your eyes I may not see forever. Forever. If we can be the best of lovers, yet be the best of friends. If we can try with every day to make it better as it grows, any luck then I suppose. The music, the music.